Amen. That's a good way to go out, you know, for the year. That sounded really good. Sure, you can come in. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for your place in our lives. We thank you for our place in you. And God, we pray that as we come before you this morning, that ready to hear a word, that you would inspire us anew, inspire us again, aspire us to be something more than what we are currently. That you would transform us, that you would ignite a fire in us that could not be quenched. God, lead us as we look at your scriptures today and remind us of our purpose in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So fire. Fire. We all think of something when we think of fire, right? Maybe you think of a fireplace, maybe you think of a candle, maybe you think of a fire pit. I know we like fire pits now, we like going outside and hanging out. Maybe you're thinking of a campfire, a bonfire, some sort of fire, but we don't necessarily, I don't think, usually think of the Holy Spirit first, at least when we think of fire. And yet today, Luke tells us in this passage that when the Holy Spirit came to the disciples in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit rested on each of them in what appeared to be tongues of fire. I have no idea what that looks like. I know what the paintings of that look like, but I have no idea what that would look like. Could you even imagine? And of course, this coming of the Spirit and the fire was preceded by this violent wind. And so we have wind and fire, two powerful, powerful things. And then these disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. And they were able to speak other languages as the Spirit enabled them. The author of this text says that there were Jews there in Jerusalem in verse 5. He said, from all over the world, every nation under heaven. The reason for this, and we need to step back and we need to look at this, because the reason for this is because they were celebrating or observing the Jewish festival of Pentecost. You see, it was already a festival. It was already a holy time. And so Pentecost was called Shavat, or the Feast of Weeks. That's referenced in Exodus 34, chapter 34, verse 22. Or it was called the Festival of Reaping in Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. And also called the Day of First Fruits in Numbers 28, 26. And so for the Jews, it was already a day of celebrating the harvest of wheat grains and the day when they commemorated that God gave Moses the commandments on Mount Sinai. Pentecost was a day of celebration and revelation, and one of the Jewish holy days where the men were expected to go in pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So that explains why there are Jews from all over the world, from all of the nations on earth, there in Jerusalem at this time. They were to go there and worship the Lord. And so God, in this, used an already important day, an already important time in Judaism, to bring about God's church and the outpouring of the Spirit on the disciples through fire. God brought the Spirit in fire at Pentecost. And we know, don't we, that fire can be uncontrollable. The disciples were set on fire by the Spirit to go out. They remember, they're in the upper room at this point. They're in the upper room. They're locked up. They're looking. They're wondering, what should we do? What should we do? But now, at this point, they have to go out. They can't stay in the upper room. They can't stay where they've been scared. They can't stay in, but they have to go out. And they start speaking in different tongues. They go out. They proclaim the good news. They preach the good news to all of these people from all different nations in different tongues, in different words, in different ways. But they all understood what they were saying by the power of the Holy Spirit. These disciples were on fire in the Spirit. They couldn't stay seated. They couldn't stay in the dark. They had to move. They had to shine lights, God's light in the world, like that little light of mine. I've got to let it shine, right? This is what happens when we're set on fire in the Spirit. We can't hold back the good news. We have to tell others about Jesus. Now, I think it's funny that the author interjects this in verse 13, that the crowd said that they've been drinking wine, right? I think that's funny. We can laugh at that. It's funny. And I like Peter. Peter kind of steps up. And now remember, who's Peter, right? He's this guy that was scared. He's this guy that was denied Jesus three times. All of these things that we know about Peter, he blurted out whatever came to mind as soon as he said it before when he didn't know what to say. And so Peter stands up with the other 11 and he addresses them. He addresses this crowd that just said maybe they've been drinking wine, right? And he says, his argument is that there's no way. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you've ever been to a Ravens tailgate for a 1 o'clock game, that's not an excuse that is going to work, right? But I don't think they were drinking here. Don't mistake that. I don't see that happening. But what I do see here in this is the work of the Spirit in Peter and in the disciples' lives. In that Peter, this fisherman from Galilee, this guy who wasn't trained in the scriptures, he just starts taking this word from the prophet Joel, and he just starts spitting it out. He just starts bringing this old word and making it new right here in receiving the Spirit, making it applicable for that day, because things had shifted in all of creation. This was the end. The Messiah had come. The prophesied Messiah had come. The Spirit had come and descended upon these disciples, being poured on men and women and young men and women. This is from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And it says, being poured on men and women, young men and women were going to see visions and they would prophesy, and all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fire. This was fire. God brings fire on Pentecost through the Holy Spirit, and Peter is preaching like a man on fire here. Fire that makes an old festival of weeks or Shavuot or first fruits new again and again and again, because Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, happens all the time. It wasn't just back then, 2,000 years ago. It's happening today. It happened yesterday. It's happened the day before. It happens daily. First fruits are born in the Spirit in the lives of people who are gifted in the Spirit at baptism and called by the Spirit preveniently. That is before they even know that God is in Jesus Christ. And Peter prophesies this new reality, this good news, by bringing in the scripture of Joel 2. Peter's set on fire, and you've heard me say that. Maybe some of you have heard me say before that John Wesley used to say, catch on fire in the Spirit and others will come and watch you burn. Catch on fire in the Spirit and others will come and watch you burn. Folks were watching Peter there in Jerusalem and the other disciples burn for the Lord that Pentecost. And the text says what happens later, not in what we read today, but in verse 41, it says that because of their testimony, because they were on fire, because people were watching them and receiving what they were saying, in verse 41, it says 3,000 were added. 3,000 believers were added to the church that day. And it was because God poured out God's Holy Spirit on the disciples that day, and they went where they didn't necessarily want them to go, but where want to go, but the Spirit had set them on fire to go. So here's a question for you, church. Was Pentecost a one-time event? Was it something that we should just commemorate with the Spirit and what the Spirit did back then with Peter and those disciples? Was it something that we should just remember as a historical beginning to the church? Was it? No. The Spirit of God is still pouring out on men and on women, young and old, black and white, every sort of way. God is pouring out His Holy Spirit still today on us. So that we would be set on fire for God. Not just so that we could listen and learn and know about God, but that we would know God through Jesus Christ. That we would go out and proclaim the gospel. But do we care? Do we want that? Or would we prefer to be more comfortable staying in our upper rooms where we're locked away and we're secure? Staying in the less risky dark, or would we prefer to be spurred by the fire of Christ? Are we ready to go where we don't want to go? Do we want to be empowered to spread the gospel, to tell people about Jesus in this way? I mean, God offers everyone the salvation in Christ and the Spirit to accept it, but we still have to accept it, and then we can't just sit there in our acceptance. We have to go. It's clear from scriptures that God has been working all the way from the beginning to bring us into relationship with Him. But make no mistake about it, this isn't a comfortable relationship. You may find yourself all of a sudden talking to people from different nations that look very different than you, that act very different than you, but God is with you. You may find yourself, when you trust and confess and you go out and you preach because you can't stay in the upper room, that you have a target on you for Christ. The message of love and welcoming is not always received. It is countercultural to what we see on the news. Christianity isn't about you and me. Understand this, it isn't about us, but about the Lord of all creation, humbling Himself, coming as a human being, living, dying, and being resurrected. He assumed full humanity in His full divinity so that we could be fully redeemed if we only believe. All we have to do is accept and believe in Jesus. The Spirit is already with us. Pentecost happens every day. We can't earn this. We can't do anything to get it. We can't do that. God has already done it. God has already given us the fire in our souls. But do we want to burn for Him and for Him alone? Pentecost wasn't just in the past. I want to see this here. I want to see this in the church. I want to see us all set on fire for Christ and the Spirit, burning for Him so that we must proclaim the good news, to set free to the captives, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. But we have to trust God, even when God takes us where we don't want to go. We have to be ready to be set on fire for Christ, at least ready to trust that God knows better than us and has a purpose greater than our individual lives, but a purpose greater that would provide for us even in the midst of all of the tribulations and trials that we go through in this life. I want to see fire here. I don't want to see fire there. I want to see fire here so that it spreads there, you see? Not because of us, but because of God, because of His Holy Spirit. Not because of knowledge in God, but because of knowing God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit is ready to set us on fire. Are you ready to burn? Because our task, our calling, our mission isn't to stay in the upper room. Our mission is to make disciples of Christ. Our mission is to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to proclaim this good news. And I guarantee you, if you and I, if we would allow ourselves to be set on fire for Christ, people would come and watch us burn. And so this is First Fruit Sunday. What fruit are we bearing? Who knows you to be on fire in the Spirit of God? And what do you desire? Let's pray. Lord, this is good news. This is good news to be set on fire for you. This is good news that your Holy Spirit came. This is good news that we can't sit and just accept. We have to go and tell others of this good news. And God, I don't know where everyone is here in the sanctuary. I don't know where we all are in our walk with you. I have no idea. But I know that you love us. That you love each and every one of us. I know that you love us, that you care for us, and that you expect us to love and care for others. And I know that your Holy Spirit is with us and is calling us into greater relationship with you. Maybe to know you for the first time, to trust in you for the first time, maybe to trust in you for the thousandth time, but Lord, it's calling us to grow in you, to know you and to love you. Lord, I pray for Orams. I pray for the people of Orams. I pray for people that are visiting. I pray for everyone that is here now and all of those that wanted to be here. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them so that they might know you, love you, and be set on fire for you. God, this is our calling as Christians, to proclaim your good news. And so, Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you would make something old in Pentecost new for us today, so that we would spread your word of love and peace and hope and good news to others that so desperately need it. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And we ask all of this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.